You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour One.
Are you two brothers? Can we get a night at the Roxbury, like some form of something?
Well, let's explain it on radio.
Okay.
I don't think they look that much alike. Do you?
We're wearing the same jacket. Like, it's the same jacket.
Yeah.
It's the same tint. Mine's a little bit darker than yours. It's a burgundy. Mine's a little bit darker.
It's a Ron Burgundy. He's wearing a turtleneck and a Ron Burgundy coat.
Yours is like wine. You have like a wine color. Mine's a little bit darker. Mine's
a
burgundy.
Little bit darker. And I don't know. Like I say, I'm sure they're both well-crafted.
Very well-crafted. We're basically a news team.
Yeah,
you
are.
In the 70s.
Like, this is
the whole
burgundy.
Thing is, there you don't mention it. Like, you let somebody recognize it on the air.
Talk to him.
I just recognized it because I'm wearing street clothes, and I look over, and these two brothers are sitting beside me.
It's not as bad as it was a week ago. You were off. We had, did we ever do a show last week, just the two of us? I can't remember. Or was someone here, then they left?
Jonas.
Or
did Jonas leave, or Hedge, or someone was here, and they left. Maybe it was Pooley. I don't remember. Anyway, it was the two of us. You were in that seat, I believe, and I was in this seat. And I had a jacket on with, like, a black T-shirt.
Yeah.
And you had, I think, that look, basically. And someone compared us to the Butabi brothers from A Night at the Roxbury.
Exactly.
And it was identical. Like, the two of us were dressed like it was the 1990s in Hollywood.
Not brothers. Like,
no.
Yes.
I think I liked the tweet. Megan's running the show on TV. Go through my Twitter account. Yeah. I believe I had it liked. Find that picture of us a week ago and post it on TSN4.
Well, if you had a black turtleneck.
I didn't have a turtleneck. I told you, I cannot wear a turtleneck.
But I'm saying if you wore some form of black shirt today, you two are brothers.
Yeah. Well, we're feeling good. The Leafs got a win last night, and Josh Donaldson's getting paid.
Yeah, I saw that.
Drake is brokering the biggest backdoor player deal in the history of the NBA.
Does that make him a loser in your eyes now?
No. Okay, so if you're not familiar with this story, Ramona Shelburne broke this story on ESPN. Now, the essence of the article on ESPN is about Paul George and his journey coming back to L.A. and how much he loves and appreciates playing in L.A., his hometown, and how he's totally embraced it, and he's got all these people hanging on to him, and he's totally cool with it. He loves it.
Right.
That's the story. But no one really cares about that. Like you do if you're a Clipper fan and you're into Paul George.
Right.
But the details that came out of it about how his relationship with Kawhi Leonard dates back to when they played high school basketball against each other in L.A. But Paul George calling up Kawhi like a day or two after he won a championship just to congratulate him.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah.
Congratulate him? Come on.
Nobody in 2019 calls somebody to congratulate. You text.
Exactly.
You text, hey, I'll see you in L.A. this summer, man. Like, congratulations.
Congrats,
that's awesome.
Thumbs up. Few drinks for me.
Paul George is in his 20s. Nobody uses a phone to call people in their 20s.
Nope.
Nobody. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Unless you're brokering a deal.
And there cannot be a smoking gun, or we don't want people to be tracking what's going on our phones. So I'm going to call you and just give you the old, hey, congrats, but let's talk about what we're doing here.
Right.
So I don't believe for a second that Paul George was legitimately just calling him. And then, hey, it just kind of happened. Like, things happen sometimes.
Just fell into Drake's house.
Right. And this is where Drake... Poor Drake, because I actually think he's a victim here.
No, he's not a victim.
I think he's
guilty of sin. And I'm telling you right now...
No, he's not. He does what everybody else does. He tries to get guys to come to his team.
So do you think... Okay,
to
here's
L.A.
Let me explain the story, okay? Drake has a house in L.A.
Yes.
And... For whatever reason, what bothers me about this is Kawhi Leonard is worth $100 million, if not more. Why does he have to stay at someone's house? Get the penthouse at the Four Seasons and set up shop. Why are you asking someone if you could use their house? Why are you Kawhining and dining for free when you're worth $100 million and you know you're leaving this place?
Because he drove his 97 Tahoe there to the house.
I understand that, but it bothers me here that he was using Drake and using his house. I am not going to give credit to Drake that he was offering up his house in L.A. as a courtship for the Raptors.
Right.
Like, I don't believe Drake was like, stay at my house This is how we treat people here with the Raptors. I think Drake was like, stay at my house because you're my buddy.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be your friend, yeah, and this will be awesome. Right. And when I'm in L.A., you can be my boy. I don't believe Drake knew that Kawhi Leonard was using his house to set up a meeting with Paul George to get the wheels in motion on the biggest player movement in the history of the NBA.
I was joking about it, but here's how I feel it would go down with Drake. Kawhi calls him up and says, yeah, I'm going to come over for a couple drinks Saturday night. Awesome. Drake is like, loves Kawhi, big fan, all of that. Plans a party. Paul George walks through the door. Goes, oh, I'm supposed to meet Kawhi here. Like, oh, by the way, you can get us some drinks and then leave.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. Now, I don't think Drake was there.
No, it sounds
Drake was
like
up
he,
here.
It sounds like he was.
But that's what I'm not getting. I'm not privy to this story, but like, what happened?
Okay,
Drake
so.
Was in L.A. and no. he had Kawhi bring Paul George. Like, what
no,
happened?
No.
All right, I'm trying to explain it here. Ramona Shelbourne wrote it. She will tell us about it later. Okay, Kawhi, while he was in L.A. I guess he must have asked Drake if he could use his house, or for whatever reason, Drake...
He can't get his own house?
But that's my point. Get your own house. Like, get your own house. What bothers me here is if you are Drake, you might be thinking, hey, this guy loves... You know, he's my guy. He knows what I'm pulling for. I want him to be a Raptor.
Right.
Yeah, you can stay at my house.
You can stay at my house if you stay a Raptor.
But that's not what happened. Exactly. So Kawhi was staying at his house, including the last meeting and the meeting that truly got the wheels in motion on Paul George basically demanding out of Oklahoma City, and both Kawhi and George holding Steve Ballmer and the Clippers hostage. Yeah. It was after Kawhi came into town for 3 days and flew back to L.A. He lands at LAX and he goes to Drake's house.
I know.
House. And then that's when they brokered this deal and this big plan and the wheels were in motion. And now both of them are in L.A. and
we get nothing.
And Drake's house is just somehow included in this whole story. But if you're Drake, okay, you can stay in my house in between when you go back to L.A. after the parade and you come up here for the meeting. The second you leave Toronto without re-signing here, you're not going back to L.A. to stay at my house. Like, that's such a greasy move.
You know what? I was joking. Like, Drake is the victim here. He's just being a good friend.
Well, victim is strong, obviously. Like,
but
we're not being literal with the term victim.
No, but you know what I mean. Drake was being taken advantage of for being a friend.
That's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like. But it... On so
if
many
you're not
levels,
a Raptor, you're not at my house
but,
at all.
But right. here's the thing.
That'd be my plan. Do you think Kawhi's still going to be buddies with him long term now that he's in L.A.?
No,
and he's gone? No way.
But that was going to be my next question. Doesn't matter. Like, if I think they can all still be friends. It just you don't do it that way as far as brokering a deal under somebody's nose when that person is an ambassador for that team.
Exactly.
Like you can Drake can still go. Party with Kawhi or vice versa after the business is done.
Well, they did. Like during Caravana, my understanding is Kawhi came up and Kawhi was here and he was with Drake and LeBron and they were at Drake's house on the bridal path and all
that's
that.
That's a different scenario. This is actually using, you know, somebody's wealth, using their pad to do business underneath their nose.
That is blatantly going to burn them.
Correct.
And who they represent and what they're all about. The global ambassador stuff, I have no idea what that means. Nobody does.
No.
Nobody knows if he works for the Raptors, if the NBA can track him down, if he doesn't want to be tracked down, if the NBA can say anything to him, do anything to him.
They must have had a conversation. They must have had to call Drake up and go, hold on a second here. Tell us, in your words, how this went down.
Well, but he wasn't privy to it. He wasn't in L.A. It was just at his house.
He said I wasn't there.
Right, and the NBA is gutless when it comes to the players. Drake has nothing to do with this. If you got a problem with it, call up Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and say, excuse me, what was going on here?
Right.
But they're gutless, and they're not going to do anything. And that, like, we're talking about, this is a moment in time in the history of the NBA. This is one of the biggest off-the-court moments in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
In the history. I mean, it's not quite, I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
Yeah.
It's
close.
Not quite, you know, other player movement that may have happened in the past and other real-life stories that have factored in featuring NBA players. But in terms of player movement, Drake's house now becomes a artifact in the history books of the NBA. This is where Kawhi Leonard and Paul George burned the Raptors and burned the Lakers and burned Oklahoma City and put forth a plan to say we're going to the Clippers.
Yeah.
And staring at a picture of a Drake mural on the wall.
I don't get why he needed Drake's house. Like,
that's what really bothers me.
Me
it's
too.
Not my money. It's not my house. But go get
He's
your own house.
He's got his own house.
Go get your own house or set up shop at the Four Seasons. You knew when you flew on that bird back to L.A., you weren't re-signing here.
Right.
You know, if you're like, if you're Kawhi, have some courtesy and be like, listen, man, I can't be staying at your house.
Right.
Like, I can't now.
But he jammed
I know
up
I'm
Drake.
Not coming back.
He like, jammed up Drake. That's what he did. But I had just somebody sent me a note. Shouldn't Drake be fired as the Raps ambassador?
No, of course not. He didn't know. I mean, unless they do some digging,
he
and
did.
I don't think they will.
Are you kidding me? He didn't know?
You think he knew that Paul... Why would Kawhi be like, hey, just a heads up, I know you're in Toronto, but Paul George is coming over. Can he come over? Like, he's not calling Drake to ask him if he can have someone to the house.
Well, I... like.
But if Drake did know, then we got a real story.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's where you start to head down. Now, we are hard-hitting facts around here, but we've gone down a little bit of
a rabbit hole
here. But it's not a great story. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good on Kawhi either.
Well, Kawhi clearly does not care. I mean, and from that standpoint, I will give him credit because he is a silent assassin that could not care less about what anyone says, anyone thinks, anyone does. Could not care less. And there is an element of this whole movement that I appreciate because, you know, owners in pro sports and commissioners, they've been running the show for a long time.
Right.
They can trade you in a heartbeat if they want to. They can cut you. They can sit you. They can do this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
And in the NBA, the players are looking around and saying, you know what, maybe we're going to start doing some stuff.
Well,
and that's what happened here. And Kawhi was a free agent. I mean, let's be clear here. The bigger issue, if I'm a commissioner, is Paul George – with 2 years left on his contract, just being like, yeah, let's do that. Like, I'm just going to tell Oklahoma City I'm out, and you have to move me, and tell the Clippers you have to trade everything you have to get me. And then on top of that, Kawhi's only going to sign a two-year deal, and he might leave in 2 years.
It is.
And I might leave in two years.
It's quite fascinating.
It's incredible.
It is good theater, and they're a good team, too.
Oh, they're a very good team.
I don't know.
Anyway. You want to see the Butabi brothers picture up on TSN4? If you're watching on TSN4.
If you guys had gold chains on that day.
He's got a green suit on.
No, that's my dark gray. That's my money. That's my butter jacket. That's the go-to. And if it's a big night, that one's coming out. I got the black shirt. I know, but they're not the same.
Yeah, it's close.
One's green and one's...
One's shiny and... You know, it is impressive. It is very close.
We need the gold chains, and we are. Who is it? Doug and
Steve.
Steve.
Doug and Steve Butabi.
Your brothers?
No.
Yes. Man.
Did you know that the guy in the show who talks, the workout guy?
Yes.
His name is Lachlan Monroe.
Right.
He's Canadian.
I know that. I've heard.
That's my
guy.
I love that guy.
He's great.
We got to have him on the show.
Well,
we have him on.
He ends up marrying, what's her name? Mary Catherine Gallagher. What's the actress's name?
I can't remember her name, but yeah.
On SNL, Shannon something.
Molly Shannon.
Molly Shannon.
Yeah.
He ends up just stepping in right afterwards.
That's right.
Right at the end, he's like, I'll marry
you. We should have him on the show. Lachlan is around. He's a hockey guy.
Great call.
Yeah, we'll have him on at some point talking about the Butabi brothers.
So Ramona Shelburne will join us at around 4:40, and we'll get to the bottom of this. Drake's involvement, Drake's house, why the NBA has just said, nah, there's nothing we can do about this.
That's all I care about. It's like, why did you need his house? Why? Like, you have your own house in L.A.
Well, he has his own house in San Diego. I don't know if he had a house, like, in downtown L.A. or the Hollywood Hills or wherever it is.
But you didn't need to use Drake's house.
No, you didn't have to.
At all.
And I can't picture Kawhi, though, being the kind of guy that would call someone up and say, can I use your house?
Where do you think Uncle Dennis
But don't you think Drake
this?
Said...
He may have been the guy that did it.
Don't
I could
think
see
Drake
that.
Said, for what? Like, why?
Yeah,
and
I would hope so.
He would have said, I want to have Paul George over.
But it might have been so...
And then I would have said, actually, no, you're not using my place.
Right. Well, unless, because, again, the article indicates that Sam Presti, the GM of the Thunder, was calling the Raptors, too. And, like, that was a part of it. They wanted to go to the Clippers, but they were using the Raptors as part of this, too. Like, who's going to give us the bigger package?
Right.
Because I think Oklahoma City basically said, all right, you know, we'll trade you, but we're going to take care of ourselves. Like, we're not just sending you to L.A.
You're maybe thinking of a deal to get Paul George up here.
Yes, and that was in... by all accounts, a part of it, but I think Masai kind of sniffed it all out and was like, I don't trust that this is going down. B, I'm not paying that price.
Exactly.
And I got too much pride. I'm out of here.
Well,
so
it could have been just as simple as, hey, I'm going into to L.A. this weekend, Saturday night. I have some drinks with a few buddies. Can we crash at your pad? Well, one of his buddies is Paul George.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't picture Kawhi giving any details. Like, it could have been Uncle Dennis. I could see that. Uncle Dennis would have the audacity to call up Drake and say, we're staying at your house. If you want to continue to be in this conversation, we're staying at your house.
I'm sure I missed the show where Uncle Dennis's ridiculous asks. Did you guys even talk about that at all?
Yeah, oh yeah.
The alleged asks?
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous. You wonder why it didn't go so well.
Been there, done that.
Man, oh man. Well, listen, it's unfortunately, it's water under the bridge. Like, there's nothing you can do about it now. You feel for Drake a little bit because...
I don't.
Well, unless he's completely innocent in this and be like, you know what, go. I got 8 houses, use one of them.
Well,
I care, I'm rich.
I think that's ultimately what's going on here. And Drake's probably like, really, dude? Now this story's getting out and Paul George is telling the world, like, yeah, we're at Drake's house just brokering this whole deal and it was awesome. And anyway, Ramona will tell us more about it later in the hour. We'll get into the Leaf win last night. Auston Matthews with only his second hat trick in his career. Yeah. Been a while since the last one. And Rasmus Sandin, not making his debut last night, but felt like it, and he performed really well. So we'll touch on that and more. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, so the Maple Leafs with it was a win last night. It's New Jersey. That team is terrible.
Awful.
Awful. But it was an easy win, and it was kind of like the Florida game. Like, I don't care that they gave up 3 or 4 goals. It was over in the first period.
Yeah, well, long over.
Yeah, it was over. Just like on Sunday night, Florida was like, go ahead, have your 3 or 4 goals. It's over. And that was the case last night. Obviously, probably not that much fun for Freddie Anderson because he's trying to get a rhythm and he wouldn't mind a shutout or something.
It jams you up statistically.
Yeah, a couple of goals here or there. But still, I mean, they got the win. They did what they were supposed to. Rasmus Sandin, he played well. He looked poised. He looked comfortable. Tomorrow night will be the challenge, and down the stretch will be the challenge, right? Like, he's going to be running on some adrenaline early on. He's a good player.
Yeah,
he's not some 18-year-old third-round pick that it's a miracle that he's on the ice. He's a good player, hockey IQ and all that, but he's going to get challenged more as the road starts to...
For sure, especially
we go down the
stretch.
Road here. Yeah. But I thought he looked good last night. I liked his game.
Don't you think he needs a new number?
I don't like
38. I tweeted it out last night.
Okay,
38 is just not, I don't know what his number would be.
Off the top of your head.
I kind of like 8, but Jake Muzzin has that number.
Is there a great 38, number 38 in the league? Off the top of your head. Like, I'm sure there is one.
The only guy I can think of, didn't Jay Rosehill used to wear number 38 here?
Yeah, I could think.
Remember Jay Rosehill?
Left-handed shot.
A fighter. Basically, you have to be a fighter and kind of a plug. So you can't be a number one prospect in an organization.
No. Well, okay, you were a D-man. What do you like for a number?
Low number or high? Oh, stop. 4. Is that what you weren't 4?
I was number 4, and I resembled...
Are you for real?
...a Robert Gordon Orr.
In Barry, you wore 4?
I think we had the jersey there.
I wore number 4, and I played in Oshawa, and they said, I'm having flashbacks.
Get your damn act together.
There was an old guy in the stands. He was like, I'm having flashbacks.
Seen this guy before.
I saw that guy play in the early 60s. And I said, nope.
Were you always 91?
It's not Robert Orr.
What was your number growing up, and then when did you switch?
Like 92, actually.
Sorry, 92.
All the way up, you were 92?
No, I got drafted 91. In 1992, and the trainer said to me, do you want to just keep that number? And I was like, yeah, sure. That's how I kept the number.
Yeah, 92 is a cool number. I mean, whatever. He can take whatever number he wants.
Okay, but
I'm with
what
you. 38
would you give him?
Is
like, what's
number.
Available? What would you give him? 38 is just not cool to me.
Well, let's get him to be
a
full time
4.
Yeah, but let him to get become a full time NHL player first. Then he can choose his own number. This has just been handed to him. Like, this is the training camp number for him. It's not like, hey, you know what? You just this isn't the first overall pick. Like, he's a guy. Like you say, he's a high draft pick, very well liked, and has a great future in the league. But like, he's not stepping in and going, "Oh, by the way, Muzzin, Muzzky, hey, give me 8 because I want 8." You take what you're given, and then a year from now,
when, he'll make
that
call.
At training camp, he'll choose a number.
Yeah, that's a good Jerry's. I'll bet you he has a different number, unless it's a number that truly means something to him.
It might have been coming up.
If there's some sort of meaning behind it or symbolism behind it, then that could be just that's the number he wants. But if not, I would guess by game one next year, he's got on whatever number it might be. I don't know.
Well, the most random number I still think in the National Hockey League is number 19 for Mikko Koskinen in Edmonton.
Yeah, that is really weird.
Goalies, 19 for a goalie.
Yeah,
like, goalies, I don't know why.
His favorite player growing up was Steve Yzerman. That's why he wears that. But he's a goalie.
I know, but that one still perplexes me. You know, goalies are usually 1 or 30s or 40.
35.
Yeah, 34, 33, 31,
yeah, that is a really weird number.
Number 19.
But moving past his number, looked pretty good.
He looked very good.
And they're going to need it tomorrow night with Calgary in town. You're going to face a lot more talent and more grit and a team that's fighting for position. Matthews had 3 goals last night, and one of them was an empty netter. The third one, or the second one, is a perfect example of how Zach Hyman does not get enough love in this town. And he should get all the love for that goal. Because I guarantee the first guy you talk about, well, Matthews, he scored.
Yeah.
And then, wow, what a play by Marner.
Yeah.
The real play was Zach Hyman on that goal.
Right.
Hyman picks it up in his own zone, beats 2 guys in the neutral zone, beats 2 guys off a chip play, puts it on a tee for Marner.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen with any other winger on that line.
Yeah, takes a cross check in the back.
They don't get it. If that's any other player, if that's Janssen, if it's Kapanen, if it's Engvall, if it's Freddie the Goat, no one else makes that play.
Ryan Babcock?
It's the truth, though. Like, you can goof on me all you want, but anyone that watches that, they'd say, wow, what a shot from Matthews. What a play from Marner. The reality is Zach Hyman did that. That was Zach Hyman.
You have to get the puck.
And
that's
what he deserves love for him. Exactly. Because
yes.
I was talking about it with the First Up guys, on with them on Monday, I think it was, and talking about the connection with Matthews and Marner. And Marner just sets up whoever he's going to play with, especially if it is a genuine, like,
finisher,
goal scorer.
Yeah.
Which Matthews is and Tavares is.
Right.
Last year, Tavares scores 47. This year, Matthews is going to probably hit 50-plus.
Yeah.
A lot of that is Mitch Marner. A lot of it is God-given ability.
For sure.
But Hyman was on that line last year. And Hyman's on this line this year.
Yeah.
And he's not ever going to get the same amount of love. He doesn't deserve the same amount of love. But some love he deserves.
Well,
and last night was a perfect example.
There is one thing Mike Babcock said that I agree with. He's one of the best in pro hockey at getting pucks back. He goes in and he gets it every time. You can't disagree with that.
No.
He's one of the best in the business.
And opens up the ice, drags in players, and then if you give time to a guy like Marner,
right.
And if a guy like Matthews is open,
right.
It's in the back of the net. And that's exactly what happened last night.
And that's why he is valuable. And he is very unique on that team because they don't have many of them. They really don't. I mean, Engvall, I think, can do that, but I'm not to the level that Hyman can do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think Engvall's still developing. Like, he's a pain in the ass at Engvall.
Yeah, he's a
I don't know how many times
player.
I've had opposing teams, management, coaches, you name it, even players, be like, that guy, he's a pretty good player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, several times, not just once, several times people have mentioned to me, like, yeah, the Leafs found one there.
They,
good player.
Well, that's a good sign.
It is a good sign.
Like, with Mikheyev going down for the year, for Engvall to basically step in and do what he was doing.
Yeah.
Is it might be an element of luck, but also you've developed and you found the right guy and it's your system and your scouts and all
right.
that. For him to step in and be like, all right, we're still good.
Yeah.
We're still good. Now you got a third line with Janssen and Kerfoot and Kapanen, and that's got a lot of potential moving forward. But with Matthews, I don't want this to come off as, well, it's because they finally got a win, so now your whole disposition is changing and we're jumping all over the map here. But we've had the Hart Trophy conversation with him.
Right.
If I were voting tonight, I would have McDavid 1 because they're in. I'd have McKinnon 2. If the Rangers get in, Panarin's going to win it.
Yeah.
I want to point that out. And I think if Buffalo gets in, which they're not, Eichel would be right in the conversation. But then you're talking Draisaitl, Pastrnak, Marchand, maybe
right.
John Carlson. But there is a pathway here for Matthews. If he can hit 60... with the narrative and the injuries and the coaching turnover in Toronto, with 35 games left to go, if they can get chugging and truly get in, not just backdoor your way in, and he drags them there and scores 60.
Right.
You got to mention him.
It's got to be in the conversation.
By the way, you mentioned Marshawn. That play last night.
The shootout play, you mean? A couple of nights ago? Yeah.
Or that was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life. A player that talented to miss the puck?
Noodles, I think, hit the nail on the head that he just lifted his head up.
I think he lifted his head up to take a peek. Like, you know, sometimes you get...
It's like a golf shot. He topped the ball.
Yeah. And the,
I didn't get a chance on that yesterday, but that was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life.
Almost like the wind blew it. Like, it was such a random thing. He knew it right away because he kept skating.
Yeah, he's like, we're done.
He just glided right through it. Like, he was like, check, please. Like, he didn't even stop watching. He kept skating. Like, it's like, yeah, all right. He knew it right away.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. But, you know, I still think there's a lot of... down the stretch here, there's going to be a lot of narrative of who's going to be MVP, who's going to be. But
it all comes down to the last 20 games. That's all that matters.
Well, and who gets in. Like, again, I think if Edmonton's in, I think McDavid's going to win it. I think he'll likely deserve to win it. It'll be a big story because they got in. I didn't think they would. I don't think a lot of voters throughout the league think they would. I think he'll get to, like, a monster number in points. And he's McDavid. I mean, it's a layup. Yeah. McKinnon, the same kind of thing. He's been spectacular.
Rangers, same thing.
Panarin. Yeah, Panarin
is unbelievable. He is unbelievable. I was at that game when he single-handedly beat the Leafs 2.5 weeks ago. Single-handedly beat them on his own.
He damn near almost beat the Oilers. They had that comeback. Remember, the Oilers were up 6-1 on the Rangers, and Panarin put a show on in the third. He had a backhand saucer pass three guys to drop it on Strome's stick. And Strome put it in. I was watching. I'm like, this guy's ridiculous.
Well, Dylan Strome, or Ryan Strome, he's having a very good year. But it feels like it's almost all Panarin. Like, he's got to do it. He's got to score. But, man, you get to play with a guy who is probably the hottest player in the league for a month and a half now.
Right.
Or 2 months. That's going to go a long way. But, I think... You know, 60 is really tough to get to, and it's tough to fathom. But he's on pace, Matthews, now for 58, I believe.
Right.
And every
just get to
week
50
or two,
first. Like, don't
get
worry
to 50.
About 60.
Yep.
Like, just get to 50 first, and then.
But if you get to 50 with 7 or 8 games left, then you're like, okay, let's see what you got. Let's see if you can find another hat trick in there, and then you start moving. But
there might be some nights where you can circle too. Like, you know, I think he can do it. Knock on wood, health is the only thing that could maybe hold them back. But, you know, like, they're having a season. Like, they're a team, I don't know the stat, but there's nights where they're playing against weaker teams, we'll say, on paper. Like, they put up a 7 spot. And the only thing that I would say, which is crazy, is he doesn't do it on the road. That's where maybe be the difference. Because he's scoring a ton at home. But on the road, it's been very, very quiet.
And I think he's only got 7 on the road.
If he can find, you know, a nice road trip where he gets 4 or 5.
He would kind of need that, a nice road trip.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, I hear you.
Like, that's
listen, I'm not saying he's going to win it or he's going to be even nominated. What I'm saying is if you're tracking the history of this award, the final 35 games, it, like, the C's part, and it opens up for...
Like Taylor Hall a couple of years ago.
Can we find something new as a voter?
Yeah.
And McDavid, I think would likely get it. These other guys have been in the conversation all year. With the Leafs injuries, with the coaching turnover, I mean, a lot of kind of turmoil here.
And the separation. I think Taylor Hall had, like, 25 more points than any other teammate.
42.
Mm-hmm. Was it 42?
Well, he went for, I think it was 92 to 50.
Which Matthews won't, because, like, Marner's putting up a ton of points himself. But
if
still.
If he stays dialed in and they get in the playoffs, you gotta think of him.
He's got to be in a conversation anyway.
Yeah.
Ramona Shelburne will join us from ESPN on her story about Paul George and how he connected with Kawhi Leonard right after the season. Allegedly just to congratulate him, because that's what people do in their 20s. They use their phone to call people. Happens all the time. You always use your phone to call
When's
people.
When's the last time you checked your voicemail, honestly?
I checked mine today.
I have no idea. But here's a better question. When was the last time you just had a throwaway comment to someone and you didn't text it? Hey, happy birthday. hey, congrats on the new gig. Hey,
never done
nobody calls.
No, nobody calls.
There's no way Paul George called him to congratulate him.
When's the last time you checked your voicemail?
I haven't checked mine
in 10 years. I'm not kidding.
Well, it's been under 10 years.
I don't understand why when you have a little red thing over on the right side telling you you've got messages, why not just press on it and get through it in the 60 seconds?
Well, because I don't think anyone I know would leave a message that I care to hear.
Me neither.
Right, like it's a spam,
But just clean your mailbox, have zero in there. You have zero messages.
It's not a real mailbox, though. It's like a cloud.
It's laziness. That's what it is. That you can't get to the messages.
Yeah, you're
10 years, zero. Oh,
10 years. Like that.
That's a little... That
should
extreme.
Be a show on TLC.
Let's
Honey
go back
Boo-Boo
and check,
the O-Dog's
check
voicemail.
His messages. Yeah,
yeah. That'd be hilarious. Sugar Bear, Honey Boo Boo, Mama June, and the O-Dog's voicemail. We'll get all the crew back together. Yeah. Ramona Shelburne from ESPN next. All right, Ray Ferraro will join us, our hockey analyst, in about 25 minutes. Jerry's percentage is at 5:30. This whole week has been wild, man. There's too much going on. I was complaining about that on Monday.
Yeah,
like there's too much content. We're in the content game here, and it's just overflowing. And today feels very similar.
Because we were talking about Beltran in the break. Like, what happens to him? Like, he just got hired. Do they fire him? Immediately?
I don't think he's going to end up managing for New York. Like, Alex Cora got fired today, basically. They mutually agreed to part ways.
That was basically saying, you cheated, we know it, so you're gone.
Yeah. And we know what happened in Houston on Monday. So Houston got theirs, Cora's out in Boston. I kind of think that's almost the Red Sox being like, let's try to get out in front of this a little bit before the big news breaks.
Right.
Get rid of them. And then once the report comes out about what was going on and what they want to do, maybe people will look past it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I've never experienced anything like this. In North America, everyone hates Boston as a sports town. Everybody hates them. Yet Houston is getting more hate than the Red Sox. Like, what kind of warped universe are we living in here where Houston is the target and the Red Sox are like kind of an afterthought? Why aren't we hating on Boston a little bit more? But Cora's out. And Carlos Beltran, who just got hired as a manager with New York and the Mets, I don't think he's going to get to spring training. I think they're going to tell him, you're done.
Brian, how many other stories? It's just like the coaching. Guys are going to come out with little tales. Who else has been doing this?
What I want to know is, how was Drake involved in Major League Baseball?
I was just going to say, did they meet at Drake's house or what?
I need to know this. Here's the senior writer for ESPN, Ramona Shelburne. Are you aware of Drake's involvement at all with the cheating scandal in Major League Baseball, Ramona?
I am not, but that's a good question. That was a fun little detail. I thought you guys up in Toronto would catch a hold of that one.
Yeah, that's going over pretty well.
Not
here.
That happy about it, but can you explain?
Well, I think people are reading this wrong. Okay. I see how this has been playing on social media, and I assume you've probably been talking about it on your show, right?
Yes, we have.
Okay. I don't think this is on Drake, guys. Like, he was being a good friend. Like, he was... Drake wasn't, like, at these meetings. He just has a house in Hidden Hills, California, which is, if you don't know California geography, he is... Hidden Hills is, like, where the Kardashians live. It's, like, kind of this area... A little bit, it's like in the San Fernando Valley, a little north of Los Angeles, kind of, if you want to live out on kind of a ranchy estate, you know, and you don't want to be in Hollywood, you can get a lot more house for what you pay out, you know, in Hollywood or Beverly Hills or whatever. And also you don't have to be in town, right? Like you can have a little privacy and distance. So Drake has a huge house out there, that he stays in sometimes when he's in LA. And Paul George actually has a huge house, like, a couple minutes away, which is incredibly convenient, right?
Well, that's where people from Toronto have a problem, because they're like, Drake, you're using your house to recruit other players for a different team. That's why Torontonians are offended.
I get it, but that's not how it was set up. It was more like Drake and Kawhi are friends from their time together in Toronto. And when Kawhi was going to be in Los Angeles for free agent meetings, because, you know, Kawhi lives in San Diego. It's like a couple hours drive. He just let him use his house. So I don't think Drake knew that Kawhi was meeting with Paul George. I mean, I don't know if he knew, but the way that this detail had been relayed to me was you know, Drake just let him stay there. If anything, I think Drake was doing him a solid, right? Like, he's a Raptors ambassador, and the Raptors were in on recruiting Kawhi at the time. This was, like, a nice thing to do for a friend. And it just happened that Kawhi used the house as a meeting space, right?
I don't get it.
The guy's got $100 million in the bank.
Can he not get a hotel room or
something? He'll fire up a Four Seasons somewhere in LA.
He actually had stayed at the Four Seasons in Westlake when he met with the Lakers. That was where he had the meeting with the Lakers. So the geography of it is really funny, okay? Kawhi lived in San Diego. The Clippers meeting was at Doc Rivers' house in Malibu, okay? So Kawhi has to drive up. And my understanding is that they didn't really have a solid location for this meeting until, like, the last minute, like, maybe even the day of. There were, like, potential locations. And finally, it just ended up being at Doc Rivers' house in Malibu. So if you know the geography of Malibu, it's like, it's a beach in Los Angeles, but it's a little bit north. So if you were going to come back over to L.A., you could come back just east, I guess, to come back over the mountains from the beach. And the place you would end up is where he ends up meeting the Lakers, which is in Westlake Village. It's kind of in and around the same area of the Hidden Hills, Calabasas area. Let's just refer to it as Kardashian country, right?
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
Is that helpful? Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, you got Baywatch out in Malibu, and then you got Kardashian country, which is just a little inland and east, okay? It's a nice area. And the Lakers meeting had actually been moved. Initially, it was going to be at the Lakers headquarters, but because Kawhi was meeting out in Malibu, and then he was going to meet with Paul George out in Hidden Hills, Kardashian country, he couldn't go to El Segundo, which is way down there by LAX. That's, like, quite a drive. You wouldn't do that.
Right.
So he had to move the Lakers meeting from their facility, where they wanted to, you know, show them all their trophies and have them meet at the facility. Nope. He had to meet out at Four Seasons in Westlake Village. And I know they had a suite there, and that's where that meeting took place. And then right after that is when Paul and Kawhi met. What I didn't know was that there was a second meeting after Kawhi got back from Toronto, in the same conversation. But these guys were talking the entire time. And at one point I said, so why did they even need to meet if they were talking? And the answer I got was, well, Kawhi was staying literally a minute and a half away from Paul in Hidden Hills.
Okay, so and that would have been Drake's house. So we're chatting with Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, who's written a great article about Paul George, his journey back to L.A., his hometown, playing for the Clippers, and there's tons of nuggets in there about how George and Kawhi got together and how they basically put this plan in movement, and it led to what we know happened today. The two of them end up with the Clippers, and it turns out Kawhi was staying at Drake's house in L.A. and brokering these deals with Paul George at Drake's house. Here's what I found interesting about the article. I don't believe for a second a 27, 28-year-old calls somebody to congratulate them.
No.
I don't believe it for a second. 20-year-olds, they text. I could see Paul George texting Kawhi saying, hey, congrats, man. I'll see you when you're back in L.A. Let me know when you're back home. I call them, and it happened to lead to a conversation about what we might do in the future. I find that very hard to believe. Because I think, you know, these two, they intended on playing with each other, and found a way to make it work.
How many people do you call besides me?
I don't even call you.
And him, that's it.
No, I don't call anybody.
No.
And definitely not to congratulate or wish a happy birthday or anything like that. So I got to believe this plan was in works for a while. They knew exactly what they were going to be talking about. They got what they wanted in the end. But also where the Raptors may have come to play in this, because you mentioned in the piece, Ramona, that Sam Presti, the GM of the Oklahoma City Thunder, called up the Raptors with this idea.
Yeah.
Do you think that was ever even a possibility that the Raptors could have made a move here and both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard could be playing for the Raptors today?
Yeah, that was definitely a possibility. There was discussions between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Raptors, but let's be very precise in our wording about discussions. I don't think there were, I think we use the word discussions and it means like, you know, yeah, they were talking. I think there was maybe like a phone call or two, okay? And the phone call or two was, if the Raptors were willing to give up, you know, the whole team, okay? Let's say Van Vliet, Siakam, a bunch of draft picks, then the Thunder could then consider trading them Paul George. But the Raptors were never going to do that, okay? Now, I think they got a message from Kawhi when they met with him, which is he was interested in coming back, but the same kind of message he delivered to the Clippers, he wanted, you know, another all-star there. There was they needed something else. It wasn't just about, you know, do you like Toronto or run it back or anything like that. Like, he wanted another all-star wing, and that was delivered. And so the Raptors and the Thunder had conversations, but I, from my understanding, and it's a pretty good understanding, okay, those conversations were not very serious. It was touching a base, you know, how serious, you know, would you consider this? Absolutely not, and there really wasn't much to it. Whereas the Clippers, who I think they knew they were the preferred destination because both guys were from Los Angeles, and that they could potentially lose Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers if they didn't do this, the Clippers were far more motivated to make this trade and give up what we now know is a pretty big haul of assets based on how well Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is playing right now in Oklahoma City. Danilo Gallinari is a nice asset, and we're not even talking about the haul of draft picks that they had to send over. So, you know, in a way, I would say the Raptors were more like used as leverage in this deal than a realistic option.
Based on your understanding, is the NBA done with this story? Like Adam Silver and the owners, is that it? It's just, it's over and we're not, because this is crazy. I mean, Kawhi was a free agent, but
right. Yeah.
Your story is incredible, the detail where Paul George is just like, yeah, I'd rather go to the Clippers now. Yeah. So
and
they call up Oklahoma City, and then Sam Presti's like, well, I guess he met him in person, like you said, and Presti's so disappointed, but he's like, yeah, I guess I'll send you to the team you've just blindsided me with in terms of a request. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I don't think the story's ever over, guys, because the Lakers and the Clippers are the two best teams in the Western Conference. And you have, and I'm on the ground here in Los Angeles. Like, if I even tweet anything about the Clippers, Laker fans are upset. I could just say the Clippers won tonight, and Laker fans are upset, okay? If you tweet about the Lakers, Clipper fans are upset. And this has not been a rivalry like this in my lifetime, and I've lived here all my life. But two really big things happened. Two players from Los Angeles, from Kawhi Leonard is from the Inland Empire, and that's the east of Los Angeles. Paul George is from a little north of Los Angeles. But that, we call those places, you know, Los Angeles. They both turned down the Lakers to go play for the Clippers. Like, that doesn't happen.
No.
These are guys who grew up idolizing Kobe Bryant. And the Lakers have never really lost big free agency things to the Clippers. They lost the Chris Paul trade. Yeah, they lost that one. But that was not really their fault. That was, you know, the NBA stepped in and there was the whole basketball reason, yada, yada. But they've never gotten a meeting with a free agent like Paul George, who then both decide we'd rather play across the street with the Clippers. That's never happened.
The article is Why Paul George Came to L.A. She is senior writer with ESPN, Ramona Shelburne. It's a really, really interesting, detailed piece. Drake is included. Kawhi's included. The Raptors are included. Great stuff as always. Thank you for doing this today, Ramona.
Thanks, boys. Did I get Drake off the hook?
No, you didn't.
I don't know.
I feel like he's getting side-eyed. It's not his fault.
He
was just like letting the guy use his house.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll let you know down the road.
It's always his fault.
Okay.
We'll find a way. Thanks, Ramona.
All right, guys.
There's Ramona Shelburne of ESPN.
She's a big Drake fan, apparently.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think that's likely what happened. Like, I think Drake was kind of thinking, okay, you're my buddy or whatever. I don't know how it ever came up. Can I use your
house? Wasn't thinking that.
He wasn't thinking, I'm in Toronto.
Yeah.
Go ahead and use my pad and have Paul George over
right.
And do your thing. He wasn't thinking that.
Well, you're a generous person. You've lent your place to like...
Yeah, but what's he going to do? He's not going to invite Paul George over.
He's not going to broker a deal and move to Sportsnet.
No, he's not having Al's brother over
brother
like, can maybe, go to Sportsnet.
If you loaned his place, that's what... You loaned your place to the Grappler and all of a sudden... Al's brother ends up on the other station.
Yeah, that would have been a problem.
That's brokering a deal.
That would have been a problem, and I would have blamed you for that.
Yes, we would have blamed
you. I would have too, but it's not happening.
Here's what I didn't realize. Like, If you're such good friends with Paul George and he lives around the corner, stay at his house.
Can I come over?
Yeah, why am I staying at Drake's house? It's not an inconvenience to Drake because he's not there. But
this is fishy. This isn't the end of the story.
I didn't realize Drake lived that close to the Kardashians either, because there's been a lot of smoke there for a while. That Drake weaseled his way in there.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
You know the one guy I think about in this situation is LeBron. Wouldn't you think these two guys would die to play with LeBron? There's something up there where they're like, no way, I'm not doing it.
No, they went to the team
that
next
he's
door
not
to
on.
Him and said, we're going to kick his ass.
Biggest rival, yeah. But let's see you get through him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, I would lean towards the Clippers.
Do you not
now.
Think he was an element to this? Where they're like, I'm not going to play with LeBron.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
They must have seen his sideshow.
Yeah.
Said, we don't want to part.
Now, Anthony Davis was there already. I believe the deal had been done before Kawhi had signed.
There's no way you could have put all four on that team.
No, not all four. But Kawhi could have still signed there. They could have found the room for the third guy. Right. But maybe that's how he looked at it. He's like, I'm not going to be two, and I'm definitely not going to be three.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a wild story, man. Like, and Kawhi is a quiet assassin. He got exactly what he wanted.
Uncle Dennis.
Uncle Dennis would have been right in there.
For sure.
Christy Pitts. And I guarantee you he went to Christy Pitts somewhere in L.A.
Yeah.
And he got his...
Yeah. Oh, I think so, too.
Valley. He went down to...
Drake is just, you know, being a good guy, and he gets greased.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ray Ferraro and Jerry's percentage is coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.